Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming here today to listen to my presentation. The work that we are focusing on has to do with phosphorus in the plant and how it recycles back to the soil. This is a continuation of the work I've done with Antonio Mallarino, in which we looked at K recycling from plant materials back into the soil and how that affects soil test K. Short introduction. We're going to look at total phosphorus uptake, removal of grain harvest, and recycling back to the soil. In some instances, recycling back to the soil is not well documented, especially for phosphorus. There has been high soil test phosphorus temporal variability observed to a limited extent. And previous research has shown that potassium uptake by corn and soybean and recycling by crop residues have helped to explain short-term K temporal variability. Materials and methods. So like I said, this is a continuation of a study that we did with potassium. The initial study involved two rates of potassium, a control, and then a high rate of either 168 kilograms per hectare potassium or 67 kilograms per hectare potassium. We had corn and soybeans. We sampled at physiological maturity for corn and for soybeans. For corn, we sampled six plants. We separated the vegetative parts, the cob, and the grain. For soybean, we did the same thing. We sampled a 1.4 meter squared area of each plot, which, and then we threshed to separate the vegetative parts and the pod shells from the grain. Then we tested this for, well, at the time, potassium, and then later on for phosphorus. Then at harvest, for corn, we sampled 10 plants. We took five subsamples, so two plants for each of these subsamples, and we took one at harvest, and then we left the four remaining bags in the field to measure throughout the season. We did the similar thing for soybeans. We threshed and we separated into five equal parts. We left the bags on top of non-till ground in similar residue, so corn on no-till corn ground, soybeans on no-till soybean ground. And then we removed at roughly 45-day intervals from harvest until spring. For this, we measured dry weight and total phosphorus. And then we later measured grain yield by a plot combine. So the grain that we measured at the field in our small samples, we did not use for our grain yield, as we did not think it'd properly represent the plot. Then we took post-harvest pulse soil samples for all plots, and we also took spring samples and select plots. This was an afterthought. This is something we kind of decided to do later on, after the project had already started, initially to see if we can measure that difference, the loss of K to an increase in soil test K, but then we tried to do the same thing with phosphorus. And here we are in the field. Top left is at physiological maturity for soybeans. We had a lot of trouble actually deciding when physiological maturity was, and even the experts seemed to have trouble telling us when to sample. So that was a learning experience. The middle top is corn at black layer. Top right is threshing soybeans at harvest. Then this is how we left the soil bags out for our residue samples, just on top of no-till ground. And then the bottom right, that's some of the situations that we had to deal with. At times, they'd be just covered in snow, which wasn't too bad, but we had instances where they were completely under ice. We did all we could to try to figure out where the high spot would be, but it didn't always work, and so that was frustrating. So first I'm going to go over some results that we had for potassium, and then I'll kind of compare them when we go through for phosphorus. So here we're looking at potassium loss from soybean plant residues. We have our two rates with K and no K. The first point is our vegetative sample at physiological maturity. The second point is grain harvest, and then the four remaining points are the residue samples that we left in the field. On the left side, we have soil tissue K accumulation, kilograms per hectare, and on the bottom we have our date on the x-axis. Here we're looking at relative loss. Physiological maturity to harvest, we saw 54% loss of our K in the plant in soybeans. This is averaged across both rates. Much of this could probably be related to leaf drop, but like I said before, we had a lot of issues with the physiologic maturity sampling, when exactly that was. So there is a good chance that a portion of this was translocated to the seed. Harvest to late fall, we saw another 27% drop. And by the next spring, 87% of the potassium had leached from the crop residue. And now for corn, the same thing. We have corn tissue K accumulation on our y-axis, the date on our x. Here you see it's a much more gradual loss. This can be tied to a few things. Different plant material. There's more material than the soybeans. From physiological maturity to harvest, we saw a 30% drop. Harvest to late fall, only 16%. And by April, we saw a total loss of 67%. As you see, if you compare the two from our December sampling to our spring sampling, the soybean residue, much of the K had already leached out. In the corn, we continue to see a leaching effect. This is probably because the corn's been given more time, the cell walls start to break down more, and the K that's within the cell walls and the cytoplasm readily leaches out of the plant. Rainfall effects on K concentration. So here we're just looking strictly at K concentration and total rainfall. So for each of these periods that we had up here, marked out from physiological maturity to harvest to each of the residue samplings, we also have a rainfall amount. So we measured the amount of rainfall against the change in K concentration. As you can see, the soybean tissue decreased more quickly than the corn tissue did. But there's also much more variation in the soybean tissue. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of variation in both tissues. And as you can see, we don't actually reach like a plateau. So it continues to leach as the season goes on. And this means it'll continue leaching into the spring as well after our soil samples. And here we have our residue K loss, against our soil test K change. On the x-axis, we have our K loss from residue. And on our y-axis, we have our spring minus fall soil test K. So this would be the potential increase that we found. We found there's high variation results, but this does show that K recycling from crop residues will have an effect on soil test K variability. But like I said earlier, this was an afterthought, so our sample size was limited. And it was not completed for all years and for all treatments. This was the most important thing that we found. This was the whole purpose of doing the study in hindsight. Next, I'll start talking about phosphorus. Grain pea concentration removal. On average, the grain pea concentration was higher in soybeans than in corn. 5.5 grams per kilogram to 2.4 grams per kilogram. This is a 2.3-to-1 ratio. However, when we combine the effect of removal and yield, the proportion of plant removed and total pea removed was similar for soybeans and for corn, at 78 and 73% and 22.8 kilograms phosphorus per hectare and 22.2. Vegetative tissue pea concentration. On our y-axis, we have tissue P concentration. We just have the one rate. For this, I used each of the K rates as its own site year, because there was some variation between the K rates as far as phosphorus concentration went. So I thought out that would be the best way to do it. And another reason I did this is when we went to look at our phosphorus data for soils, we had much more for our control than we did for our high rates. As you can see, the soybean concentration was much higher, both at physiologic maturity and grain harvest. But then from December until spring, the concentration remained pretty stable. Vegetative tissue P accumulation, kind of the same story. Soybean P relative loss, PM to harvest, we saw a 67% decrease. Again, leaf drop and translocation, but we saw pretty much no change until early spring. Corn P relative loss, 28% from physiological maturity to harvest, and only 38% by April. So residue P loss and soil test P change. So much of the phosphorus in the plant is going to be in organic forms, so it really needs to be decomposed to be available to the soil. So we found that the short-term length of the study did not allow for enough decomposition to occur, as is shown by the low amount of P recycled from vegetative crop residues from grain harvest to spring. And we did see increases and decreases in soil test phosphorus, although for the most part, everything was similar. And what really confused me is we actually saw decreases, which I was not expecting. But for the most part, we could not correlate any of this to recycling from crop residues. This is important moving forward. We know that we won't need to use it in our soil test calibrations. Conclusions. Although the grain P concentrations in soybeans is much higher than corn, we saw similar removals with both crops. There is a large amount of P loss from vegetative tissues between physiological maturity and grain harvest. And phosphorus leaching from crop residues does not affect soil test levels, especially when we compare it to potassium. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Ryan. We do have time for a quick question or two.
Yes.
Why so the P concentration in the soybean is higher than corn?
I'm not sure. So we had done a preliminary summary of this earlier, a couple years ago actually. And with those results, our phosphorus level had been slightly higher than corn. But then when we summarize everything from all the site years that we had, we saw a reversal of that. So I'm not positive why.
Your extraction method for soil
B? Malic 3.
Malic 3?
Yep.